Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
And gentlemen, let's get ready to be inspired! Introducing in the red corner, American Tennis! And introducing in the blue corner, your host for American Tennis, Mr. Chuck Creasy! Ladies and gentlemen, time to get in the game.
And good morning once again. This is Coach Chuck Creasy, and it's another week of American Tennis. Each week, we bring you cutting-edge news, as also we bring you lots of opinions. We want your opinions as well. Please call in at area code 714-583-6853 if you'd like to talk to our guest or to make comments about our shows. Sometimes controversial, sometimes not. The water is heating up, folks. We have a lot going on, and I think that we will have some very interesting things to talk about today with our guest. We wanted to remind you that the mission of American Tennis is for you to stand up and to speak out. Say those things that you want to say. Get past cliches, facts, and simple opinions. We need your feeling and your gut feelings and needs on this. Definitely we need your opinions. Stay professional, address issues, not people. And we are doing the best we can to tote that line, to just stay professional, folks. But there are so many things coming up now, and there's so much potential impact on our great game of tennis that we will be pushing that line today and often. Remember, Edmund Burke, as we always say, his saying was that all that it takes for evil to prosper is for good men, good people to do nothing. We have a duty, not just a right, not just an opportunity, but we have a duty to stand up and to speak out about our great game. Folks, you can call 714-583-6853 if you'd like to. This is the UR Tennis Network. Lisa Stone, Parenting Aces, a great show this Monday. Go back and listen to her interview with David Benjamin. Her interview with David Benjamin, I loved it. She did not pull punches. She basically asked him some tough questions like, why were the student-athletes not polled? Also ask about other things that are really critical to the welfare of our game. And so go back and listen to that show on Monday. That's Parenting Ace. J.P. Weber has a show, We Coach Tennis, on Tuesday at noon. Also on the UR Tennis Network, Jason Haynes has his college tennis show 2 hours after right now. That's 2 o'clock Eastern Time, 1 o'clock Central Time. Go to my website, chuckcreasy.net, for my writings and my blogs, for past radio shows, and to sign up for my summer camp. Folks, we've got my 38th summer of Total Tennis Training Camps this summer. Check it out for your children or your friends of your children. It's a great camp. We do the job. Everybody gets a lot better, and it's not a fluff camp. It's a training camp, and it's a good one. It's our 38th summer. ChuckCreasy.net. And with that, I'm going to introduce our guest. Coach Randy Blumendahl is on the line. So, Coach Blumendahl, they've done it again, man. They did it again. I brought you on because I want you to, to tell the story. But, you, myself, Coach Gene Orlando, last summer we created the MDTA, Men's Division I Tennis Association, just as a functioning and a relevant coaches organization that can bring forward the voices of all the coaches. But it doesn't seem that they really care that much about the voices of other coaches, or it seems pretty much canned, Coach. It's a mandate this time by the king and his hand-selected court. Can I say it any plainer than that, Coach Blumendahl?
No, I think that's right on. We're once again talking about scoring format and a scoring mandate that's taking place truly, as I dive deeper and deeper into what the issues are and talk to the head coaches around the country, nobody really believes that the scoring is the issue. They believe we have a problem, but we keep getting focused on something that isn't going to solve our problem in tennis and help us become relevant again.
You know, Coach, last week you said we have a problem. John Peterson was beautiful, the way he put things, as wise men. I always say wise men, not wise guys, but John Peterson's one of the best. A leader in JUCO tennis and formerly a high school football tennis coach. This guy's been an athletic director and just a wise man he is. But he said that we are not putting forward the sales promotion for tennis and its good points. We're seeing the negatives and we're throwing stuff at the wall basically now and coming up with this. I call it a ruse because it's not about time, So, what are your thoughts? What is it about if it's not about the time?
Well, the NCAA tournament, where this all came about was the NCAA tournament is having problems with their scheduling. And they combined the men and women together with facilities that weren't quite equipped to have, adequate schedules for that event. And therefore, with rain delays and indoors, moving matches indoors, where the facilities became smaller, less courts, the matches got pushed into the late hours of the night and the early morning. Into the early morning, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, some of them were pushing. Well, the NCAA said, "Hey, we have a problem here with this tournament, and we need to shorten the matches if we're going to keep this together." Well, the problem is not the scoring format, though it could be a problem. It could be something that needs to get better. It's not the current problem. The current problem is that we have a scheduling problem at the NCAA.
Yeah, and that's one tournament a year. Let's face it, the NCAA is not concerned if your match at Indiana University or at Michigan State goes over 15 minutes. It's 3 hours and 15 or 3 hours and 30 or something. We're talking about one tournament, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah,
and,
so...
We've been talking about scoring format for 20 years, I feel like, 20-plus years. And, the history of it is our game hasn't been growing. The college game has not been growing in a positive direction. We keep cutting programs, and still talking about scoring format is going to be the savior to send our sport in the right direction, because it's about entertainment. And I'm just not convinced that the current scoring mandate is going to put any more people in the stands than what we currently have. I think John Peterson was talking about this as well. Marketing is something that I think would make a difference, and I think there's a few other great ideas that have been passed along out there that would make a huge difference. But, you know, me and you talk about this quite a bit, but human psychology, the law of attraction or reticular activation system, when you're constantly focused on one subject matter all the time, you start to believe that that's what it's all about, and you start looking for answers in that way, and then we can't figure out why we're stuck. Well, we've been focused on scoring for 20 years, and truly that is not going to be the vehicle that sends our great game forward in college tennis.
Well, this is so confusing, you would think. I mean, these are learned Ivy League guys, and you got a couple West Coast guys that are really pushing this, and but, you know, they're learned people, and they, you know, they say they care about the game of tennis, but they keep beating this dead horse, and they keep resurrecting a dead horse. Our scoring system has been around for over 100 years. It is well thought out. It is a fantastic scoring system. It is the difference between ping pong, badminton, racquetball, and tennis is, you would have to say, is the scoring system. It's a fantastic system built on years and years of traditions, and we don't need to go there. I've got a list of things I'm talking about. We're talking about the process right now. We could talk about the rule itself, what to do about it. Then the lack of outrage bothers me a lot. We'll talk about that a little bit. And the coaches are starting to speak up, but a lot of them get bullied down, to tell you the truth, and then what we need to do to go forward. But you're exactly right. We have put our focus on scoring system where we shouldn't be. We shouldn't be trying to make a touchdown 8 points or 9 points or a basket. I know that, you know, that's maybe not a good analogy, but they did make a three-pointer for the short people. You know, but they're not trying to make them five, and they're not always switching around to different things. Our scoring system is one of the most sacred heirlooms. It's an ideology problem, isn't it, Coach? I mean, people who are, I'd say, on the left on this really do not look at scoring as a bedrock fundamental of our game, whereas I do. I know I do. I know you do. I know multiple coaches look at the scoring system as maybe one of the bedrock fundamentals, but the tragedies we're blowing it. What are some of the other issues we should be looking at right now? Go ahead, Coach.
Yeah, I think you're touching on something that really matters a whole lot in this discussion. We're being focused on the scoring, and the way that I look at the scoring is, you know, and definitely, you know, it's not 100% my opinion, just listening to the coaches talk over and over again and listening to their opinions on it. What is the best that's going to happen if we go into no-ad scoring? Or, you know, are we going to, you know, exponentially grow our fan base? I don't think it's going to make a difference. If anything, I think we could lose ground, because I think the true tennis fans look at it the same way you do. They get excited about some of the drama that's built with our scoring system. And then to take it on a deeper level, but still right here out in the surface, right in your face, the players don't like no-ad scoring. The players do not want no-ad scoring. So, you know, we're being told, hey, we should sell this. you know, the coach, we don't even have a, you know, from what I see, we don't even have a majority coaches that are in favor of
doing this scoring. We didn't even have a vote. Let's
we
let's
didn't
talk
even have a vote.
Process.
Yeah.
We didn't even have a vote.
Whoa, wait, coach. Right now. Yeah.
21-19, this was not even on the table in January, in the December meeting.
But let's make this point, because this point has been clear with the ITA. Through their surveys, 82% of the boys that played the NOAAD scoring in the national indoor did not like it. 82%, and 85% of the doubles teams did not like it. So that's a fairly large percentage.
No, that's overwhelming.
At the top. Yeah, at the top, very top. So the players don't want to do this. I don't see how it's going to attract any more fans. So I'm not sure what problems we're solving. I mean, are we solving the score or the NCAA scheduling problem? No, we're not. So, but I think another point that needs to be made clear with the MDTA, getting the coaches unified and really listening to what they have to say, do we need to make changes? Absolutely. I just don't know if scoring at this moment is where we need to focus our attention.
Coach, you know, there's a article in the Champion magazine, NCAA Champion magazine, spring 2014. The president, Mark Emmert, he has the front page article. On page 5, he says, student-athletes' voices must be heard at all times. It didn't say when the ITA decides for them not to be heard or just because, wait a minute, if we're trying to push this other agenda forward. He said, today the student-athlete's voice is an essential part of our process. Who better to consult on student-athlete welfare than the student-athletes? And I mean, we have 82%. Now, I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek, and maybe, you know, I could call it the king and his court, his hand-selected court. You know, we're not at this stage in life trying to win popularity contests. But I'm going to go on record as saying our first and should be one of our only battles is to look after the welfare of our student-athletes. Not to have to maintain the integrity of the game should be number two. So these are bedrock principles. So let's go back to the process. No vote at all in December. A sham. A complete sham. Talking to board members who were behind the scenes saying that one of the high officers said, well, 21-19, it's clearly nobody has decided a mandate. These were on two different things, these were two things on the table, and the current system that they're pushing forward was nowhere on the table. They took the worst part of the first, which was abbreviated sets, took the worst part of the second, which was NOAAD scoring, and pushed them together and came out with this mandate for the first 6 weeks of the season. And by the way, many coaches lost their job. No, not many lost their job. Two or three have lost their jobs over maybe speculating here. Four or five losses taken early under this system for ranking 75 teams where a team like a Michigan might an AD looks and says, no, it's unacceptable for Michigan to be ranked 38th. We've been having that argument for years about not ranking that many teams. So no vote was taken, and then no vote was taken this spring at the NCAA tournament. No vote was taken. They just said it's going in.
True. And the logic behind why they compromised with this scoring system was to make doubles relevant. And I asked a coach who played all the way through the national indoor, you know, how many matches did your guys play? And they played 9 matches under that scoring system. And the average time, he gave me the average time of the doubles matches, which was 36 minutes. So they played 6 hours of doubles in one third of their season. Now, how is that relevant? I don't understand how that, you know, that so over and over again we're getting thrown this, you know, this logic that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to any of the coaches. And then, like you say, we haven't even put a major decision like the scoring system to the vote of the members of the ITA.
No, and, well, we are doing that now. Explain what we're doing with the MDTA, and then I want to talk about the problems we are having that we should be addressing. But what is the MDTA, Coach, doing so people can know?
The MDTA, number one, I think it needs to be stated clear. We're trying to unite the coaches to have a voice. And here's another prime example where, you know, the ITA did due diligence, and what they think they did due diligence with putting together hoc committees and ad hoc committees and trying to, you know, hey, let's come up with an out-of-the-box type thing. But they didn't talk to the players. They didn't talk to the coaches. And here's a coaches organization that hasn't had a vote on a major decision. So the MDTA, we decided, hey, you know, let's actually see how the coaches would vote if we had a vote. So we put a vote out to all the Division I coaches, and at this time, 53 out of 60 coaches that have responded, 6 out of the top 10 rankings have responded, but 53 out of 60 have disagreed with the mandate. 30, I counted it up, 38 of them made a point to tell me out of the 53, they strongly disagree and are very upset. That's a big number, 53 to 7. And the goal is that we're going to get everybody's vote. So right now Gene is Facebooking everybody that has not voted. I know you've been on the phone quite a bit. I'm going to send out some more emails. And we want to get 100% of the coaches' voices here. I want to hear the coaches that agree with it and the reasons why. And right now it's 7. Hopefully it's going to, you know, if this mandate goes through, it's going to be more than 7. But if it's the current number and it holds up, I mean, that this is, you know, something that's pretty outrageous, because the coaches don't support it at that point, and neither do the players. And I think that's something that, you know, you talk about ideology, I think it gets down to, you know, our coaches organization, is it set up to support the coaches, or are the coaches there to support the ITA? And, I know why it was originally set up, but, you know, that's the feeling we're getting right now.
Well, that's a strong and powerful statement that I think anyone listening should take to heart. reminds me, as we talk about government issues, are our politicians there for us to serve them? Are they supposed to serve us? And it's the same parallel. And, you know, which leads you to wonder also, this all goes back to 2012 when they had, Brian Bolin referred to it as a circus at the NCAA tournament, officials upset, saying we've got to do something, a couple people rallying the troops and taking some NCAA ADs and things to the U.S. Open and entertaining them and saying that we can make it better. It needs to be a better show than what we have. The key is scoring and tilting the argument in that way. But I wanted to remind you, in 2012, we had 10,000 signatures against changing the scoring system. 10,000. It was a hot potato in 2012. It resurfaced in 2013 with all that is going on here. And those 10,000 plus the 82% student-athlete poll, plus the athlete, the Mr. Mark Emmert there, the NCAA president, his statement about student-athletes' voices must be heard, plus just the process of how they have done this. And, Coach, you were at the meeting at the NCAA tournament. I was appalled that they would send a music professor in to deliver this message, and I don't care how well-meaning and how nice and if he has a tennis background. You know what, Coach? I love music. I listen to classical music every day. My children all play, and it's my second love after tennis and sports, I believe. But I would never be equipped enough to go in and speak to a group of music professors and say, look, here's the way you should run your show. It was appalling. We left. After that meeting, I think I told you, I'm just so disappointed with what we're doing in tennis. Just the process.
Yeah, Coach. What you're getting at is we're out of touch with what it's going to take to make us relevant again. We're out of touch. One of the questions that was thrown out to I'm trying to remember the name of the music director.
Tim
know
Russell.
Who it is? Tim Russell.
Yeah, Tim Russell.
He's
a nice look. He's a nice man.
Super nice
and
person.
You know,
very intelligent.
Well. But he hadn't been a coach. He hadn't been a coach. He's not a field general.
Right. And one of the questions that was asked was, it sounds like to me that marketing is a big thing that's kind of holding us back, and whether it's scoring system or whatever, let's get somebody in here that really knows how to market our sport. Who have we talked to? Who have we hired since we're, spending all these hours doing this? And the answer came back, nobody. I think that was pretty eye-opening. We're in a situation where we want to become more relevant. We want our sport to really get to the forefront. We all are very passionate about how great our game is, and we are splintered at the moment on, a decision on what to do, and we really need somebody to unite us by promoting the game the right way, because we have a tremendous product if it's promoted the right way. And college tennis can be so great and can be such a vehicle for tennis to push players to the forefront of the game, and we're not focused on the right things. I mean, we're focused on stuff that is going to recreate history over and over again. At the same time, we're losing ground because things are moving forward at a rapid pace.
Coach, talk about what we need to be focusing on. What are our major problems? Marketing, you said, number one.
It's marketing, promoting the game. I think we need somebody on the outside. We need that E.F. Hutton, the person that when he talks, everybody's going to be listening, and somebody that really can kind of look into the future, see the crystal ball on, hey, here's the direction, whether it's going to be live streaming, whether it's going to be, what are some of the vehicles. He'll know where we're currently at, and he'll know, if our system is in a situation where we can promote it the right way, and if it's not, we'll come up with what we can. I think I've heard some great opinions with a lot of the coaches, talking to them in the last 9 months, and there's some really good ideas out there that need to be pushed forward. I think to promote the game right, we one thing that's getting a lot of momentum is we need to split the seasons. I believe we need to split the seasons and put the team part of the season in the fall for the weather, and the marketing would be easier. I know there would be some obstacles that we would have to overcome, but anytime your sport is in a position where, there's a great deal of fans around, there's going to be some obstacles. So that is a good problem to have. And then shorten the length, not the number of matches, so the fans can really get into it and kind of make it concise. But the the fall really helps with the weather as well. The weather around the country is good in 95% of the country, where in the spring it's bad in 80 to 90% of the country. So for most of the season. And I think that would make a big difference. But if you flip them, then you build this grand slam on the individual side, have your NCAA champion after a great individual season. And in those tournaments.
So let me get this right. So the fall would be over by Thanksgiving or something.
Be over by Thanksgiving, yeah.
And then the rest of the season?
Then you come back and starting time whenever you would want to make that, mid-February, 1st of March, and you come back and you play an individual Grand Slam season. You've got indoor build up to indoor championship. You've got a clay court championship, NCAA championship, and then if you really wanted, I think we talked to marketing people and people that really know how to promote, but you could do things like the champions of those tournaments get wild cards into ATP events. And in the summer, the kids would really want to springboard into the summer and play futures. And, it would just, I think the players would love it. The fans would love it. It would be easy to follow.
Right now, we really have a situation where players limp into the summer. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think, I think every coach would agree the length of the team format, even though we all love it. I mean, we're all coaching because we love the team matches, but the 5 months is it's a different kind of grind. And for whatever reason, and you probably know the reasons better than I do, the players end up wanting to take a large portion of the summer off to recuperate from some of the stress that they went through with the team season, and they don't look very inspired to jump right back into it. I think the individual tournaments would have a much different flow into the summer.
Yeah, and we could have the best amateur circuit in the world if we've done this properly. Coach, I'm going to be right back. We got to go to commercial. We'll be right back. Hang on, American Tennis, Chuck Creasy, and Randy Blumendahl.
This is Coach J.P. Weber of the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. In my 30 years experience in coaching tennis, I've never seen a better tennis training situation for children than Coach Creasy's Total Tennis Training Camps. Chuck Creasy has coached them and trained them in every arena from juniors to collegiate to professional tennis, and over 15,000 children have improved their games at his summer tennis camps. Find out more at chuckcreasy.net. That's chuckcreasy.net.
Creasy with American Tennis, and we're back with Coach Randy Blumendahl, and we're discussing the ITA mandate that they are trying to push forward for college tennis against almost all logic of players who dislike it. And we're getting back feedback from coaches Most coaches dislike it. Now, we're going to go get out and get all the polls, but, Coach, if we get 100%, that's 220 coaches. Wouldn't we need a 66% majority to change something as bedrock as the scoring system? Isn't that the way the democratic process works? Is that accurate?
You would feel represented and agree or disagree with what the outcome would be. You would be able to move forward and sell whatever product we had because you knew that's what the coaches wanted to do. We would be banded together and united, and everybody would have a voice. So I think that's where the frustration lies. And I think one thing that needs to be made clear is I don't think, you know, I know that in the MDTA, me, you, Gene, we're not trying to be against the ITA. We have been transparent with everything that we have decided to do and communicated everything with them, and we want change to happen. We would like change to happen that is going to help and I think everybody's on board with that. But we really feel like there's a void there with the coaches being able to speak out and talk about what's important.
Well, let's talk a minute here. I want to get a couple other problems, but let's talk a minute about the lack of outrage. I think back. I know that doing this radio program has been great for me over the last couple years. I've been able to articulate and I've had to find statistics. And the more you look at the facts, the more you understand sometimes about what is going on. I've heard all of the information that we get nowadays called attempting to drink water from a fire hose, or the right water from a fire hose. It's just almost impossible, and some people just throw their hands up. I do know also, and as you get in your later years as a coach, you throw your hands up, and you know, you basically said, forget it, I've had my time, and let's go to the golf course. And that's why retirement was started in the first place. As you do get older, you don't lose your spunk, you don't lose your mojo. You basically, for the most part, but society likes to keep the older and more experienced people sort of dumbed down, and because you do just get to the place where you just say, come on, we're not going to put up with this again. I've seen this show before. A lot of the younger coaches sit on their hands in those meetings. I even had one or two come up to me and say, well, I'm against this, but what can I do? I said, well, you must speak out. If you don't speak out, we will all regret it. And there's a statement I used to read, a quote. It says, objection to tyranny is obedience to God, basically. You must, we have a duty to speak out. But your lack of outrage, what do you take of it? And do you think it's about just getting people the information and giving them a forum to where they can speak? Or what do you think, Coach?
I think it's a learning process. I think over the years that because the way the information's been dictated to us, a lot of coaches do not believe that they can make a change. And because of that, why waste the energy? My day's busy enough, and you know, whatever happens, happens. I with the seven people that agree with the mandate, I think four of them gave me an answer like, you know, it's going to happen anyway. You know, I'd rather it happen, you know, on something that I voted for than, you know, somebody tell me we have to do something. But that was the exact point. You know, I don't think most coaches think they do have, and I think what they were talking about was the NCAA committee mandating something on of us anyway. So one mandate to another mandate, so most of the coaches don't feel like they truly have the time or the energy to make a difference. in the current way that information is being shared amongst the Division I coaches.
Right, and it's the voice has been in the last so many years, 30 years, over the IT, should be the ITCA, it is the ITA. They have corporate voices now. They have board members from USPTA, I believe, John Embry. David Benjamin, I'm quoting what he said, John Embry is on there. They have a USTA member on there. They have different corporate people on there. Now, to my thinking, this doesn't make sense. This is a conflict of interest, or these are lobbying groups. I mean, this is not right. I've already talked about this a little bit, but it's just something that's not right. I guess my question to you is this. How did the ITA get so powerful in your mind? You've been a coach for over 20 years. How did they get first of all, is their power implied, or do they really have the power to do such things as they are doing?
It's implied. I think we're all members of the NCAA and with Division I coaches, and really all the mandates truly take place through the NCAA and the NCAA championship. The coaches organization should be the voices of the coaches. And, you know, I think because of, just kind of staleness and then people understanding, hey, we got to make a change, then we truly haven't went in any direction over the last 20 years that set us forward. I mean, we've dropped how many programs now?
Over 400.
And you know, we're not growing a game that is ranks number 2 in the world in popularity. I mean, yes, it's not as popular here in the U.S., but in the world, 2 in the world in popularity, it's a great game.
Whoa.
And if we can push that to the forefront, find ways to do that. But the coaches are kind of beat down. We feel like we've got more paperwork we ever have. We got more red tape stuff going on. And then if we really focus time and energy into something and it doesn't matter, like the vote that took place in December, I can't tell you how many phone calls I got on coaches that were discouraged. Hey, why go and vote? Why waste my time when the vote didn't even matter? So, you know, if that continually happens year after year after year, and then the representation of the ITA says, hey, we're doing this in the interest of our coaches, there's a disconnect. And at that point, they have power because of apathy, because we're not doing anything about it. And, you know, I think truly if we're going to be a coaches organization, let's be one.
ITA power because of apathy. In government, you call what the useful idiots. It was Lenin, I think I read an article about back in the 50s. He called people who just go along the useful idiots. And I absolutely do not mean any of our coaches who are exhausted, worn out, like that, but it refers to just not stepping up and not caring. We really do need coaches' voices, and we need to get a complete poll taken and one that's not skewed or manipulated, or when you have the poll that isn't what you wanted, like they got down in at the convention. You just don't ignore it and then go do something else and push it through to the NCAA like it's a powerful thing. Some of our other problems, you said 400 teams drop, lack of marketing. What else? If you had a wish list and we could make 3 great wishes for American college
tennis. I think we need a unified vision on what is going to make our sport relevant again and what that's going to look like. If everybody knew exactly what that would look like, the decisions to, the tough decisions to make that happen would happen, we wouldn't come up with all the reasons why things wouldn't work. We would know, hey, if this is the only way that we're going to be great, this is the direction we need to go in. Yes, do we need to lobby the athletic directors to split our seasons and make tennis two sports instead of one? Yeah, maybe that's what we need to do, but we need a vision out there. I don't think anyone is inspired by the scoring format or no-ad scoring. I haven't talked to one coach yet that's jumping up and down about no-ad scoring. I've talked to, you know, seven have contacted me that they agree, but I didn't get inspired by reading what they agreed on. So, but, I think if we could all get inspired and all, you know, all could clearly see, and when I talk to the great promoters of the game and people that have had tremendous vision, you see it. And I think that's very important if we're going to unify everybody in the next small period of time. I always feel like the clock's ticking as we drop another program and another program and another program. And, time's not something that is running in our favor. And as we make these decisions, I think that's why we get a little bit outraged, because it's like, oh, we're going to recreate another thing that didn't work before, and it's not really going to help us shoot forward.
Two things you say that are so impacting. Number one, tennis is the second most popular sport in the world wide, next to soccer. In the United States, it suffers for multiple reasons. You could say there are other sports that kids gravitate to. It's, those things. But, again, it's throughout the world, it's number two. It should have a fighting chance for sure in colleges. My AD, I remember in the mid-'80s, I asked my AD at Clemson, Bobby Robinson, one of the finest men I've ever met, and a great leader that inspired. But I asked him, I said, do you think that they will ever could drop tennis? He says, no, there's no way at all, because, first of all, we already have facilities built. It's not that expensive to have a tennis team. You get maximum visibility, maximum bang for your buck, basically. You don't need that many people. It is the most visible sport that you could have for the amount that you money you put out there. And by the way, he said, most of the people who are in tennis end up being doctors, lawyers, and engineers. And so they become great resources as alumni. So, no, to answer your question, Chuck, no. And, it is, to me, with that much potential, it would be like having these brilliant athletes on your team and then not being able to develop the talent. And every coach, any coach who does not develop the talent in front of them, basically that is probably the most awful. What would you think? I used to say if I had a good athlete that I need to be horsewhipped if I don't bring out the talents, the God-given talents in this person. But the amount of opportunity that college tennis has had as the number two sport, coach, and to not be inspired by what is going on, and then to revert to such a numb, ridiculously insignificant thing as, oh, it's the scoring system. We're going to do something that is not done anywhere else in the world, by the way, and fans will come because we're going to get it on TV. Coach, if they want to put the Hokey Pokey show on TV, let them do it, but don't mess the game up for everybody else. We could have a TV format. We could have, there's so many things you could do. You don't have to have 32 teams at the NCAA tournament, coach. 32 teams. That was voted against, by the way, 51-2. Should I bring that up again in 2005? 51-2, but they did it anyway. So it just defies belief. I mean that we are battling like we are, but we have to battle. So how can we? What should we do next going forward? The next thing I wanted to ask here: there's a lack of outrage. How do we go forward from here, Coach Blumenthal?
Well, I think the first thing is we have to address this scoring issue once again. And I don't think it's going to be pretty, because I think if the NCAA ends up, taking on the mandate and making it part of the championship, then I think you're right back to a situation where student athletes are going to, probably start another site where you've got 10, 15,000 people that are going to be against it, and all of a sudden tennis becomes a black eye to the NCAA again. Nobody wants that. That's not the way we really want to promote our sport. So, I think we have to keep fighting this issue right now. I think it is very important that we hire somebody that is able to have a vision for college tennis from a promotion standpoint in the next few months, to get it going.
It can't be a coach.
It doesn't. No, it's not. It's not a coach. Could it be a coach? I don't know. I don't think so. I think it needs to be somebody that's an expert out there and really, putting stuff like this together. We've talked to a few people with the MDTA and continue to look for other people out there that, identify those people. But what a huge impact that would make. The technology world is taking off, and social media, you've got all these formats out there, I feel like we're kind of in the stone ages with talking about no ad scoring. It's going to be I really go back to the house at night and I think, well, did arena football work? No. Did indoor soccer work? No. What other gimmicky sport could we come up with? In Domino's team tennis, no, it's not a player. No, it's not. People love the sport for what it is. I mean, I'm still reading articles about the Djokovic Wawrinka deuce ad game that lasted 25 minutes. There was another one in the clay court season that had a 20-minute game. People love the drama. The crowd was standing up on their feet screaming, and no ad scoring doesn't bring that. Eight-game pro sets don't bring that. So, we have to, we're going to have the right scoring format, but we have to be promoted the right way. We've got to come up with the right formats, the right system for our players to come out of. And you've talked about splitting it up into education and entertainment. And if we can get both of those to work in a positive direction, that would be great. Right now, I really feel like we have a lose-lose. We don't have a product that's going to make us relevant from an entertainment standpoint, and we're losing ground with the players.
Without a doubt, I keep wondering why the ITA has any clout here. If they're a coach, they're supposed to be a coaches organization to support the coaches. They're not supporting the coaches here. They're not supporting the players. And why the NCAA committee is listening to them at all? Could you imagine NCAA football listen? They might listen to a coaches association, but they don't pick one over another, I would think, especially
no.
One that has lobbyists perhaps giving money to that organization. That would seem
no.
So wrong.
You asked me earlier, is it a coach? Is it going to be? I don't think so from a promotion standpoint. I was talking to one of our best promoters in the game the other day, Brad Dancer, and he was talking about, how you know, they had 500 fans at their match, and I was thinking, are we so small-minded to believe that 500 fans makes us relevant? I mean, you know, it's good because we think it's good because we have a hard time getting 50 to 100 fans out in programs across the board, but that's very small-minded. I mean, we should be thinking on a much larger scale, and to do that, it's going to take somebody that knows how to get there.
Right, and we're not being led in that direction right now. That's just the sad part about it. And as you said, the education and the entertainment, if it was the best of the worlds, would be players getting better and it being entertainment too, like, you know, basketball, football, baseball probably is the best example of players getting better in college, plus they have a great fan base. We don't have a good fan base, and players aren't getting better. You know, so the point being is we would like to be like golf, maybe, that fan base maybe isn't there, but you have people getting better and improving. I mean, the PGA really gets a lot of college players coming out and going to the PGA. You said an interesting thing, too, about the drama of regular scoring. Everybody still talks about Mitchell Frank winning against UCLA last year on the guy putting a match point away but hitting his foot into the net. And the ability that Mitchell Frank had to regroup and extend those long games and to come back, it's a great story. Would you have had that at all if you had had a sudden death point and people go, oh, it came down to a 3-0 point? I always have equated, and like, we got a minute or two about, we can talk about no ad scoring. I've always equated it to a slasher movie, Blood and Guts, where it's whoa, it's scary for about first 2 minutes, and then you go, whoa, that's laughable. I've seen that before. As opposed to an Alfred Hitchcock movie that keeps the suspense and drama growing and growing. And if you want to hear my 38 other reasons about grouping points, Coach, 3 in a row versus 1 in a row, about the skew happening because of scoring system instead of skill set, and on and on and on. What say you, Coach?
Well, the facts are the facts are the facts. I mean, isn't ATP doubles experimenting with the same thing, and they haven't gained any ground by doing it?
No.
Zero ground by doing it. 10-point breakers, no, they don't get any more fans. No ad scoring, no more fans. And again, you know, we could talk about that if that, you know, that's what you want to talk about, what it would take for doubles to take off. But scoring format didn't do it for them. So why would we try it in college tennis? So the stats are out there. It hasn't done it for us yet. It's not going to do it for us in the future. So that entertainment, no, that's not going to help. I mean, is it making doubles more relevant by having a 36-minute? No, it's not. It's not. I mean, I think we could. You know, I think we're smarter than this. We can come up with better ideas than this. And I know we are coming up with better ideas than this because I listen to what people are telling me. You've got every little, you know what you know, and you know that at the end of the day that you can look at it 100 different ways and it doesn't work out if you go to no ad scoring. And it's real hard when people just want to change because they want the game to be better.
Well, we all wonder what the smoke screen is about and the mirrors and smoke, and so well put, Coach. So, Coach, been great having you. We got to go.
Made in America, born in a hot land, raised up a family, a King James and Uncle Sam. He got the red, white, blue, fine high on a farm. Semper Fi tattooed on his Simpsons. Spent a little more in the store for a tag in the back of this USA. He's just made in America.
thank you again for being on. Coaching Indiana Hurrying Hoosiers, they still call them that, 197 Olympics, 49 Olympic champions. I think you have 35 NCAA team championships there at that school. What a great school and a great coach you are. So thanks, Coach. Appreciate you being on today.
Thank you for having me on. As always, love spending time with you.
Have
a great day.
Yeah, you keep fighting a good fight, Coach. And everybody out there, remember that you are in the process of winning or losing every day of your life, and it has very little to do with a win or a loss. Keep fighting, folks. Speak up and let people know if you don't agree with something, do it in a good way, but daggone it, let them know. And we'll see you next week on American Tennis. This is Chuck Creasy.
Opinions stated by various contributors to the UR Tennis Network and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR Tennis Network. Participants are encouraged to use their own discernments and draw their own conclusions. All information, products, and services offered by the UR Tennis Network are for personal use only. The UR Tennis Network does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of information contained within the network. Any products or services provided for should be used solely for entertainment purposes. We emphasize the idea of keeping an open mind and not construing the products, services, or data as factual.